The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Praise the Lord. Now, if we look at Colossians chapter 1, which is something that caught my attention the very first time I sat down when I came into the hall from Pastor Dimeji's teaching, and it just wouldn't leave me. Let's look at Colossians 1. Praise the Lord. Now, the verse or the chapter starts with Paul appreciating the Lord for the faith, the evidence of the faith walk that he could see in the people. You know, he was glad. He said, you know, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So that's how it starts. He is appreciating the Father because of the evidence of faith that he can see within them. But then when he gets further down to verse 9, he now says, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the answer or the question now is, why would you want us to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? And the answer is in verse 10. He says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This means that there are some of us who have been Christians for many years, served well in our churches, gone on crusades, giving. You know, some of us have been in churches where, you know, pastors have raised significant amounts of money for projects, and we've given money that was supposed to go to personal projects. We threw everything in. And what we are hearing here is, it is possible, if we become Christians and are added to a church and do not get to the place where we are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will not walk worthy. So there are a lot of Christians today who are not walking worthily of the call with wherewith they have been called, because they do not have what it takes. They don't understand what God's will is. They have no concept of what God expects from the church. They have no idea. So because of that, they are unfruitful. Now, to them, they may think they are doing something really amazing and fantastic. And they may even, you might even see them when you go out from here this evening. You might see them at the corner of certain, you know, streets, sharing handbills. And when you, you know, take the handbill or do not take the handbill, they may look at you with such, oh, Marshall, he's just going to a church where they just teach. And that he wins so for long. We won so and so many souls today. We won the other soul next week. We are going on that crusade. We are even going to villages. Am I hearing? Because we will see what happens when we get to heaven. Look at the way you are behaving. And they are saying it, or it's from a sincere place. It's from a sincere place. It's from a sincere place. However, according to divine standards, they are not in order. They are not in order. We need to be aware of these things. when God joins us to a place like this. I remember the first time I came to EGFM, I just knew straight away, these guys are talking my language. They are speaking directly to my heart. My mind might not understand what they are talking about, but my heart is witnessing that this is what I should have been fed from the moment I became born again. This is what I should have been fed. But I could just tell that I wasn't understanding it. And there was a reason why. I'd been fed something else for years. For years. And in that dispensation, I was a pastor. And in that dispensation, people carried my Bible. My mates carried my Bible for me. And they had all sorts of names. M-O-G was not enough. G-M-O-G. You had to put G-M-O-G. It's great man of God. Man of God was not enough. And yet, here I was. I came into an assembly. And all they were doing was just expounding on faith, hope, charity. Basics. And I was lost. I was lost. How many of us remember what the Lord said to those company of people who he called workers of iniquity? Can you remember that? Let's look at that in Matthew 7. Ah, thank you. I can already see the Matthew 7, 22. He says there, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, these guys were not lying. When you read the Bible, you need to believe the Bible. You know, our problem is we read it, but we're not really reading it. You know, we're not really reading. They said, Lord, Lord. So they knew it was the Lord. And they were before the Lord. Now, I have met the Lord out of mercy because with prophetic encounters. So the Lord has called me up to him. I knew how terrified I was of him. I don't think I would have been happy to tell him lies into his face. No, he's not that kind of being. He's not that kind of being. I mean, I fell flat on his face because I was too... You know, on the floor, because I couldn't just look at him. He was the one that had to lift me up to talk to me that I'm offended by a sorrow. Did they? You understand what I mean? Because I was just full of fear. Right? Now, I don't think I would have had the guts to have looked at the Lord's face and tried to lie to him. I don't think I have that. You know? I don't think any man would facing the Lord. Right? So these guys are speaking sincerely to the Lord. Right? And they are saying to him, have we not prophesied in thy name? So they did prophesy in his name. They did. So a yardstick of acceptance or walking worthy before the Lord is not that you prophesy in his name. Are we understanding that? So, I mean, for example, one time I saw a sister who invited me for a crusade. She said, come to a crusade. I went for this crusade and I was blessed. It was like a concert, musical concert and crusade, and I was so blessed. So as far as I was concerned, that sister was an angel. And then I didn't see her for months. And then I saw her another month, and I looked into her eyes. I just saw spirit of sexual immorality. And I couldn't reconcile what the Lord was telling me with this angel of a sister who has invited me for crusades and everything. And then I went... Consider the Lord, what are you saying? He says, go and bring your sister back. She's fallen. And I went and spoke to her and she repented and in tears. Now, that's the kind of thing that would happen in my previous, as it were, and still does happen now actually. But I could bask in those kinds of prophetic manifestations of the gifts and think that I am walking worthy of the Lord. It doesn't matter how strong the prophetic gift. That is not enough. Are we seeing it there? Yeah. So these guys prophesied in thy name. The Lord revealed it to me. This lady is fallen. You think she's a beautiful... Go and restore her. Right? But then I'm in a company of people just teaching the basics of the principles of doctrine of Christ. And I was lost. So gifts is not equal to walking worthy. Are we seeing it? Okay, fine. He says, and in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. So many wonderful works is not equal to walking worthy. Now I'm speaking to young people because my fathers already know all these things I'm talking about. So I'm actually addressing those of us who have only newly joined. So I'm trying to help Pastor Alfred. Pastor Alfred, help me know that, sir. Thank you, sir. So I'm just, you know, making sure that, you know, I don't spoil anything Pastor Alfred has already done. Praise the Lord. I say, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, why? We see the evidence in the previous verses. Now, let's go up a bit. Hallelujah. 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What is the Lord trying to tell us here? The reason we are being called, or we are being added to a church. Remember Acts chapter 2, the very last verse. The Bible says, and they were added to the church, just as should be saved. They weren't saved, they went to church. No. They brought them to church to save them. They were added to what? To save them. And the context of that salvation is this. Even though you come with things within you that don't look like me, when I am done with you, if you will allow me to open you to knowledge indeed, things that you ought to know according as belongs to my seed, my type of fruit that I bear, in time you will be converted. You will come into full salvation. So the Lord was emphasizing fruit as them who would be said to have walked worthy. So it means if we allow you come to church and then tell you that everything is okay, you are perfect as you are, thank you for accepting Jesus into your life. I mean, I like listening to Christian radio stations in the West. We have one in the UK that I love, actually. And every single time, you would see people sharing testimonies of their conversion to, you know, when they became born again. And they would talk about how things have changed. Once I was lost, now I'm found. You know? And they will sing Amazing Grace. And then they will call an altar call. You know? The emphasis is just being on being born again. They know no more than that. And as far as they're concerned, because they have not become born again, they are going to heaven. And they're going to be saved from all things. Now, the enemy makes us or brought this deception to the church concerning the issue of sin to tell us that when we get to heaven, sin will be over. Now, I will tell you something. Let me give you a simple allegory or an example. Now, in the UK, where I'm from, we love queuing. We like queue. You know, we like to just queue. I mean, we queue for everything. We queue for our breakfast, and it's normal. We don't think jumping queue does not cross our mind at all. Like, it's abnormal. If you jump the queue, everybody will look at you like, ha! Everybody will look at in shock, like, who is this? With horror. My Caucasian brothers and sisters, they will go red in horror, shock. He jumped the queue. Right? Now, we just love queuing. We queue for everything. So, for example, now, if we came to church and maybe they opened the doors late, you will not see everybody trying to... No. Queue. Bank. We want to take money from the ATM. We even ask, in case, when somebody is just facing the other way, we ask, are you on the queue? And when the person says they're on the queue or they are not, then we go on. You know, it does not cross our mind to jump the queue. Now, my Nigerian self who likes to jump queues gets to London. I jump the queue the first time. Everybody goes, I do it the second time. Everybody goes, by the third time, nobody will teach me. I just join the queue peacefully. And I wait without any argument. Now, after a while, I'm used to it. Now, the moment I come to London and people start jumping queues, guess what I do? I start jumping queues again. Now, it tells you I'm not a natural queuer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? My nature is we jump the queue. How can we jump this queue? But I get into an environment that has a bit of sanctity, and I fall in line. Now, God does not want us to go to heaven and pretend to be righteous. He wants us to be genuinely, naturally, uncompromisingly, all fabric righteous. So the end of sin is not to go to another nation where sin is not prevalent. The end of sin is to change nature. Change nature. Change who you are. And that is what doctrine does. Are you understanding me? So going to heaven with sins full in your members is a wrong step, my brother. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that sin will be over when you get there. One of our pastors was talking about people going to heaven with envy, jealousy. Getting to heaven, envious, angry that other people are being decorated with glory that they do not have. It looks funny or sounds funny, but it is not. It is true. Heaven is not the place of... Heaven is not salvation from sins. No. That is where it actually originated from. How many of us know that sin was imported from there? That's where it started. The Bible talks about Satan. It says... The Bible says, referring to the enemy, it says it was talking about his glories. And then they acknowledge that somehow, that's why all the deckings with which you came, we found something in you. It was strange. What did they call that thing they found in him? Iniquity. It was first found. It was first authored, if you like, in the heavens, in a being that dwelt in the heavens. So that location called heaven is not a automatic sanctifying or cleansing place. No. It just causes you to stay in line because everybody else is behaving themselves. So you too behave yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you go to heaven and we somehow take you back and bring you back to earth. And your sin remained in you when you left. Your sin will become evident again in you when you are back here.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Si bragadilian tu bragabatuzian, agrigli vide baranatizi videa. For our mystery, even the mystery of Christ, even the mystery of Christ is not just to delete sin, it's to shift delete it, it's to permanently delete it, it's to remove it totally from your system. Is to remove it totally from your system. Is to bring a righteousness to you. Is to install a righteousness in you that cannot be undone. That cannot be undone. That cannot be undone. For that is the essence of our mystery. Even the mystery of Christ is to remove sin completely. Is to make you righteous. Is to make you righteous. Is to make you right. When you follow this light, when you follow this light, when you follow this light, when you believe this light, you are changed. 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 Even the essence of our light is to completely make you. Is to completely make you. And you can never go bad anymore. And you can never go bad anymore. And you can never go bad anymore.
I still remember the first time Mommy Helen came to London. I mean, this is why we honor them and we do what we do and we are sold to them, you know. Mommy Helen came. She came alone. She didn't even come with daddy. And was just teaching every day. Go there. Go there, and we're just taking mommy everywhere. All she was just doing was teaching. And then she, for the first time, I saw that Jesus wasn't born God, as it were. That he came and he was mere man. That was why when they wanted to kill him, he had to run. If they had tried to kill Jesus or they got in their hands on him when he was a baby, they would have killed our Lord. So the only solution was not let's pretend that he has anything or he's born. No. Let's run. That was the only solution. So they took Jesus and they ran. Amen? And they continued to add to him. The Bible talks about him increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God. And does God need to grow with favor and stature? Does God need to grow with favor? So Jesus was mere man. What happened was they taught him stuff. They opened knowledge to him, realms of knowledge. And as he began to do, and the Bible says, of all that he began to do and teach, he did first. And he did for many years before he opened his mouth to teach. And in those doings, he got to a stage where he was now raisable. Now, many of us know that Bible says God cannot be tempted. So one of the reasons why God is who he is you can't tempt him. We have people in London, for example, who will say, there is no God. If there is God, why don't you strike me now? You can't draw God like that. Do you understand what I mean? He's not in my office where I consult in an office, for example, and they were talking about a particular guy in the office. And they told me, watch out around him. His feathers are easily ruffled. You know the meaning of that? That means he gets angry quick. If you just stress him little, you understand? That's not God. God is the unruffable. You can't pull him. Now, if Satan was being asked to go and tempt God, he would say, come on now. This is not going to work. Let's stop fooling ourselves here. You can't tempt God. So this was a mere man who could be tempted, and when they brought substances to him in the form of doctrine, they raised a being who eventually came to a place where he overcame and became begotten of God. Now that order of the, they call him the first begotten, because there are others who should be begotten as well. Amen? They call him the what? The first begotten. Because there are others who would be begotten like him. And we are being given tools in this conference. Tools. All our pastors that have come here have, you know, labored. Labored. Opening up, you know, scriptures. I like the way, for example, Pastor Tosin teaches like a lawyer. When he finishes, like, I hope I've been able to prove to you beyond all reasonable doubt that thou shalt obey. I hope I've been able to, you know, convince you and not confuse you that we are now being called to fervent charity. You understand what I mean? The reason they are doing this is because they convinced a man, and then he in turn convinced others, and he has been told by the Lord that he must raise other brethren like himself. And when he's done raising those brethren, he that sanctifies and all they that are sanctified shall be all of one. There will be no difference between them. Let no man deceive you, brethren. Sin can be eradicated here on earth. Let's look at that, 1 John 3, as I close. Verse 9. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Whose seed remaineth in him? God's seed remaineth in him. They say he is born of God because they find God's seed in him. Amen? They say he's what? Born of God. Why? Because they find God's seed in him. And it remaineth in him. He's coming to abiding. Amen? And he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. So this is where we will overcome sin. Here. Here. This is where we will put an end to sin. This is where we'll put an end to sin. This is where they will take us by mercy through the doctrine of Christ, give us faith, give us hope, give us charity. We will finish, you know, the doctrine of Christ well. And then as Pastor Tosin has been opening up to us, to pull or get strength, you know, Pastor Tosin and Pastor Dimeji taught the same things, to pull us into the next thing, everlasting life must come. And fervent charity will birth everlasting life. This is where we will be changed. So one of the reasons why we love our parents so much is they didn't give me money. It's not, I mean, Daddy has given me money before, actually. But it's not because he gave me money. Amen? You know, a father looks after his son always, spiritually, physically. He just looks at, he's so close for me. Anything I want, he just... But that's not the reason why I'm saying this. That's not the reason why I love Daddy. The reason I actually love Daddy is so I saw a seed that was not in me, present in me after time. I saw that there were things I was comfortable with before. I was no longer comfortable with them. I just could no longer do it. I just couldn't. And my wife saw it. My kids saw it. And they said, this is unusual. This is unusual. Things were opened up. Substances were handed down. From decades and, you know, non-stop teaching. For hours. We will sit down. Why? Because we're going back to our very first verse that we started with. We started with Colossians 1. Let's go to 9 again. Verse 9. Why? Because they wanted us to be what? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. spiritual understanding. So when Reverend comes up here and starts saying, we have been born, we are being born, and we will be born. Don't say, won't he like to my confusing your church? We have been born again, no. Why? They want us to have all wisdom, all, not some, not a bit, not a hint. Are we understanding it? It's not, no, not, we must know it all. We must know it all. Are we seeing it? All. So it's not a time to be stressed by revelation. No, this is your food. Eat it. This is your food. Eat your food. I know how I am as a parent when my children don't want to eat. Eat your food. Hallelujah. All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse 10. That we might walk worthy. If we don't have the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, what will happen? We will walk iniquity because his seed will not be found in us. The way they will get his seed into us is they will unveil his ways and substances to us. Hallelujah. Let's be ready. Let's not get tired of eating. Let's not get tired of listening. Paul taught until somebody fell from the window. If it is some of us, we will be angry with Paul. We will say, I will never go to his meeting again. That's how somebody fell down from the window after he finished teaching. What in life, come on, come your June church here. Just teach. Now somebody has fallen down from the window. Paul was doing something. Amen? Paul was doing something. What was he doing? The people had to eat. They had something in them that had to be removed. A seed had to be found in them that will make them walk worthy. Hallelujah. So yeah, this is the dawn of God. I'm not even finished doing dawn of the Lord yet. So that's why I'm just trying to make us understand that in this season, we must be ready to understand doctrine, sound doctrine. We cannot afford to be full of prophecy and gifts and all of those things that impress people out there. We are different. Family members will call me every now and again. We went to church. You know that powerful prophet that lives next to our house? They told me that you are going to share a testimony soon. That this your business you are starting is about to blow. All you just need to do 21 days fasting and prayer. That's all. And you will come and share testimony. And I will just be nodding my head. Are you going to do prayer and fasting? I'm under authority. I have people in church. I do what they say. You know? Simple. We are not moved by all of those anymore. You can't impress us with gifts. You can't impress us with how much do you have in your even if you accurately prophesy how much I have in my, you cannot move me. No. I can even give it to you, sir. Say, take, just go away. Is it the money you want? That's why you are doing prophecy. Take the money, go. We have our eyes on a prize. We must walk worthy. They must see his seed in us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703 0395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.